Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. If you've seen the Oscar-nominated movie Moneyball, you know that the character played by Brad Pitt, Billy Beane, who revolutionized the Oakland Athletics by going against baseball's conventional wisdom, had a difficult choice, as was shown in flashback, of whether to go to the major leagues or go to a college. And that is sort of what drove his psyche throughout the entire motion picture. Well, it's not as easy a choice as you might think. A lot of young high school baseball prospects have very difficult decisions to make when it comes to junior college versus four-year college versus going into the majors. We have a graduate student here with us today who has written a paper about the real Moneyball question. His name is Mitchell Woltering, and we'll talk to him about that after we hear these words from MTSUnews.com.
Here's the latest from MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. Tiffany Bickers will replace Rhonda Waller as the new director of the MTSU Office of Education Abroad. Bickers says her main goal is to pinpoint what study abroad is doing well and where it's lacking and how to improve in those areas. Waller resigned to take a position at the University of Texas in Austin. Did you know that the MT Hurling Club, which was formed by MTSU students, is the only hurling club in the state? A frenetic mixture of field hockey, soccer, lacrosse, and baseball skills, hurling combines 21st century whiplash speed with the centuries-old daring of its ancient Irish practitioners. And finally, Dr. William Yelverton of the MTSU School of Music won the men's 400-meter dash for his age group March 16th at the USA Masters Indoor Track and Field Championships in Bloomington, Indiana. The 51-year-old professor posted a time of 55.9 seconds. For all the latest MTSU information, go to MTSUnews.com.
Mitchell, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
The decision that Billy Beane had to make might seem really simple to most parents who would want their young son to get a good four-year education, get the degree, and then just in case the baseball career doesn't work, they have something to fall back on, they have a career that will last for them if they get injured playing baseball and can't really have a career, or if they just wash out, if they're not really major league material. Tell me why that's not necessarily the case.
Well, as you said with Billy Beane, players have a very difficult decision when an MLB team drafts them out of high school. Many families, parents will push education, just like you said, you know, you can go play baseball, but get your education so you have something to fall back on. But when a guy gets drafted high and a major league team is, you know, waving $1 million check in his face for a signing bonus, that becomes a lot more difficult to persuade a kid that, you know, college is the right choice, pass up the money.
And also, Major League Baseball has a plan whereby a young man can enter the major leagues, and within 2 years after retirement, they can go back and get their four-year degree, and Major League Baseball will pick up the entire tab. But how many young men avail themselves of that opportunity?
Yeah, what you're referring to is the MLB scholarship plan, which is something that players can have written in as part of their contract. Now, not every player is going to have the opportunity to have that written into their contract. If a player is drafted in the 25th round, a team is not going to be likely to offer them, you know, enrollment in the plan.
Right.
But a high school player who values their education, but, you know, is looking at a lot of money to go play baseball right away, is probably going to have a good opportunity to get enrollment in what they call the plan, negotiated into their contract, where a player, when they enroll in the plan, they are able to go to college after their playing career is over on the dime of whatever team drafted them. They can negotiate as little as, you know, maybe just the team will pay for their tuition, or they can get as much as tuition, room and board, living expenses, food expenses. It all depends on how they negotiate it, and that's usually tied to how high they're drafted and how much money they're getting paid.
Right. But most 18-year-olds, wouldn't you venture to say, are not thinking about what they're going to be doing when they're 30, or they're thinking their career is going to extend into their mid-30s, maybe even up to the age of 40, but the average major league career doesn't last anywhere near that long.
No. The average major league career, this is for players that actually make it to the major leagues, is only 3 years. And out of all the players that are drafted, it's only 5.6% of guys that actually make it to the big leagues. So of those 5.6%, they can expect to last about 3 years at the major league level.
Mm-hmm. So is it really as simple as signing bonus versus four-year degree? Or are there nuances to the way the draft is structured that make the choice more difficult?
Yeah, the way that the Major League Baseball draft is structured definitely makes the choice a lot harder. Most of us are familiar with, you know, the NFL draft and the NBA draft, at least most sports fans are, because those two are highly televised and publicized. And those players all have already gone to college because of rules that those leagues have in place. So in the NFL and the NBA, you're basically drafted strictly on your talent alone. And, you know, the first player drafted is the most talented player, you know, or what they perceive to be the most talented player.
Right.
The way that Major League Baseball's draft is structured, that's not necessarily the case. Now, when you're in the first round, you're probably seeing guys that are based strictly on talent level because those guys are going to get paid regardless of where they're drafted. Like, that's how good they are.
And they can be drafted either out of high school or college, right?
Yes, you can be drafted out of high school, out of junior college, out of a four-year institution. You know, you have multiple opportunities to get drafted and really multiple opportunities to turn down money if that's what you so choose to do. Where you see the difference in the Major League Baseball draft is when you get out of that first round. In baseball, guys are drafted as much on what they call signability as they are on talent. Now, take for example an 18-year-old kid who has committed to play, you know, at Vanderbilt University.
Yeah.
And this kid tells, you know, Major League Baseball scouts, "I'm honoring my commitment to Vanderbilt." Well, a team is not going to use, you know, he may be a second-round grade, a second-round talent level, but if they don't feel confident that they're able to sign him, that he is going to honor his commitment to Vanderbilt no matter what, you know, what sort of money you wave around in front of him, he's likely not going to be drafted in the second round. Now, he may be a guy that falls to the eighth round and, you know, maybe a team like the Yankees that can offer a sizable amount even as an eighth-round pick are going to take him on a flyer and say, you know what, if he signs, great. If not, it's not the end of the world for us. It was only an eighth-round pick.
Right. So there's a certain amount of crapshoot mentality going into this here.
Yes.
And it's not all statistics. There's still a certain amount of gut instinct involved among the scouts and among people in the front office.
Yes. You can't draft a guy based strictly on the numbers that he produces or, you know, saying a guy who was drafted in this position the last 5 years earned this much money. It just doesn't work quite that way with the Major League Baseball draft, which makes it very difficult to try to predict things based on previous drafts.
And the average signing bonus, you write, approached the value of a college degree between the sixth and seventh rounds in 2003, but by the time last year rolled around, the average signing bonus did not approach the value of a college degree based on a figure you cite of $121,539 until between the 9th and 10th rounds. So what does that mean for these young recruits?
Well, it shows a pattern that players are getting higher signing bonuses, and it's been trending upwards over the last, I'd say, 15 years. It's really been trending upwards. And That's based on design by several Major League Baseball teams, which have said to themselves, the way for us to compete and go to the playoffs, win championships, is to build through amateur players. Teams like the Tampa Bay Rays, who have been in the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years and have the lowest payroll in baseball, they play in the same division as the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox, who have the two highest payrolls in baseball. The Tampa Bay Rays simply can't spend the amount of money that the Yankees and the Red Sox can. They can't go out and get the premier free agents when they become free agents. So they've made a conscious decision to say, we are going to invest more money in our draft picks and in our development of those draft picks because that's the way we can win. We can still spend 40% more on draft picks than the Yankees can, but when you're signing amateur players, the amount that you're signing them for is so much less mm-hmm. that even though we're signing them for a higher percentage, the actual number really isn't that big.
And unlike the NFL, which divides the television revenue up equally among all of its franchises, regardless of whether you're in New York or Green Bay, which is the smallest market, baseball doesn't work that way. There is not an equal distribution of television revenue.
No, not. The New York Yankees have their own network
right.
that other New York area teams pay to be played on their own TV network. And take, for example, the Milwaukee Brewers, who are the smallest market in baseball. They couldn't imagine approaching the type of television revenue that the New York Yankees are getting. And there are some things in place that share, as they say, share some of the wealth and spread some of the money around, mm-hmm. but it's such a small percentage that teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox and, you know, your LA teams, their TV contracts are just so much more money. You know, that's why they're able to go out and spend the money on free agents like they do.
We'll be right back with more on MTSU on the Record right after this.
The Middle East Center at MTSU seeks to promote greater understanding of the politics, history, and culture of this vitally important region of the world. Its mission includes the promotion of outreach programs and faculty research. The center sponsors lectures by Middle East experts and scholarly exchanges. We're especially pleased to offer a new interdisciplinary minor in Middle East Studies with courses in Arabic and Hebrew. This is Dr. Alan Hibbard, Center Director.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
Mitchell Woltering, graduate student in sports management, no S on the end of that, here at MTSU, and the author of Weighing the Real Moneyball Question, When is College the Better Choice for Major League Baseball Drafted High School Baseball Players? Where does junior college factor into a young man's thinking when he's about to graduate high school and making these pivotal decisions?
Yeah. Most of us are familiar with football players that go to junior college, and typically we hear of players going to junior college in football because, you know, their academics don't meet the standards of, you know, your typical four-year universities, or maybe they've had some behavioral issues that, you know, are keeping four-year institutions from allowing them to come there. But that's not necessarily the case in baseball. With junior college and baseball, you do see those same instances, you know, where a player's academics just don't meet up. They've had behavioral issues, but it's not to the extent of, say, a football player. Junior college gives a high school athlete, a high school baseball player, I should say, the opportunity to go and play one more year of college baseball and then get drafted right away. If you choose to play junior college baseball, you are eligible for the draft each year after a year of junior college baseball. Whereas if you choose to go to a four-year institution, once you've signed that letter of intent, you are locked in for 3 years. You have to wait 3 years until you're draft eligible again.
And at what point would you recommend that a young man make contact with an agent?
You can consult with an agent and still keep your eligibility available.
But you can't sign.
But you cannot sign with an agent. Now, the rules on what you can do with an agent are much more strict for football because those players have already gone to college and, you know, have already, anyone that is being drafted in the NFL has already used 2 years of eligibility at the college level. So they have to actually be much more careful with the agents than baseball players do. Since baseball players are allowed to, you know, depending on which route you go, if you play high school, 2 years of junior college, and then go to a four-year institution, you have the ability to be drafted 5 times before you actually decide to sign.
With regard to agents and whether or not you can trust them, a lot of people thought they could trust Lee Steinberg at one time because he had a reputation of wanting to do things morally. He even required his signees to give 10% to tithe to their favorite charity, 10% of their income. He ended up being a boozer, an alleged sexual harasser, and about half of his staff walked out on
him. And sometimes things like that happen where you think you've done your homework and made a great decision, and it doesn't always turn out great. But, you know, that's like anything else in life, really.
We'll take one more quick break. We'll be right back with more MTSU on the Record right after this.
The Concrete Industry Management Program at MTSU fills the need for trained personnel who know concrete technology and techniques. Our alumni go into the marketplace grounded in basic math and science and able to promote products or services related to the industry. Our participation in the Academic Common Market ensures talented students in other states a chance to enroll on an in-state tuition basis. This is Dr. Heather Brown, Director of the program.
To find out more information on this or other university programs, visit mtsunews.com.
Tell me about how pitchers get more money than position players in baseball, and how that also factors into the decision-making process about at what point to go college or go pro.
Yeah, in my analysis of the first 10 rounds of the last 10 years of the draft, one thing that stuck out, it's not a huge discrepancy, but pitchers tend to get more money signing bonus wise than position players do, and that's because teams really put a premium on pitching. There's 30 teams in Major League Baseball. You know, 50 years ago there were 16 teams.
Yeah.
So the pitching has been spread out quite a bit, and you can see it when you look at the numbers. You see how offensive numbers have trended up and pitching numbers have trended down, you know, since baseball started expanding. So, you know, deservedly, teams put a premium on pitching. Mm-hmm. So when they draft a guy, you know, who they think has the potential to be a number one, number two starter, they're probably going to pay him a little more money than they are a position player, because there's just more hitting to go around.
And the high school graduates consistently sign for more money than both the four-year college players and the junior college players. So if you're making a decision to go to college, you are consciously making a decision to place education over money, or at least defer the arrival of more money in your pocket in lieu of an education for a few years down the road.
Yes, that's something you need to be very cognizant of. Mm-hmm. Is if you are drafted in the same, you know, it could be the same draft position, fourth pick in the second round. If you're a high school player as opposed to a college player, the high school player is going to make more money in that draft position. Because, you know, as we've talked about, a high school player has the opportunity to turn down that money, go to junior college, go to college, work, get their education. They have the opportunity to turn down the money. So teams need to give them an extra incentive to sign. When they draft, you know, when they draft a junior out of a four-year institution, their only option is to come back to college for one more year of eligibility. And then when they get drafted, if they want to play baseball, they have to sign. And really, the team has all the leverage at that point, because what else are you going to do?
Right.
Go play independent ball? You know, most guys who are drafted are not going to want to do that.
Right.
So as a drafted high school player, you have the most leverage that you're ever going to have in negotiations with the team. So that's why you consistently see, you know, it doesn't matter what the round, the pick, the position, it doesn't matter. High school players get more money for a signing bonus than college players do.
Which runs counter to the conventional wisdom in the rest of non-sports-oriented society that the college graduate will make more money than the high school graduate.
Yeah.
How do the colleges that have great reputations for good baseball programs like Arizona State and LSU compete with the fact that a kid can make more coming straight out of high school than they can if they go 4 years and play 4 years for one of those colleges? And even if they make it to the World Series, the College World Series in Omaha, they're still not going to sign with the pros for as much money as a kid who went right out of college, out of high school, I beg your pardon, and didn't take the college route.
They are competing based on the education that they can provide, that they can provide the athlete. You're going to run into a lot of kids, a lot of families who really value education, and those are far and above the kids that you see playing in college who are drafted high, is families that really put a premium on education. Now, if you're drafted high, as we talked about, you can, you know, negotiate enrollment in the plan, but the reason that Major League Baseball has that and why teams offer it is because even though it's there, few players even know about it to start with, because the team's not just going to bring it up out of the blue, you know. Mm-hmm. That's something extra that they have to pay for, unless the kid does their homework and knows about it. You know, that's when they'll start talking. And even for the kids that do negotiate that into their contract, a lot of them still aren't using it. So that's why, you know, that's why it's still there, because it's still profitable for Major League Baseball teams, because they're able to get guys in right away. Yeah. And there's so many of them who simply don't take advantage of it.
And you found that there have been Over the course of your research, 136 players drafted in the first 10 rounds that have decided not to sign, and of that number, 55 of them, or 40%, have been drafted a second time at a higher spot than they were originally drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they knew that, what do you think that would do to the decision-making process?
Well, that's going to push them more towards signing right away.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing that, you know, only 40% of guys who are turning down the money are getting drafted higher.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they are drafted higher, they're a college player now, so they're going to get less money.
Yeah.
So they may be drafted 15 spots higher and still being offered less money than they were when they were drafted 15 spots lower.
Scouts for Major League Baseball go all over the world looking for players these days. They go to Asia, they go to the Caribbean, and a poor kid from the Dominican Republic isn't even going to think about a four-year degree. He's going to go for that high signing bonus as young as the scouts discover him.
Yeah, and a point on that is a guy who a team can sign out of the Dominican as opposed to a player in the United States, same skill level, same talent ability, they're always going to go for the kid in the Dominican because they can sign him for a lot less and they don't have to go through the draft process. They don't have to worry if they're the first to see him and the first to offer him. They don't have to worry about competing with other teams drafting him in front of them because the international, you know, player pool is really just up for grabs.
Right.
Other than Japan has very set rules for how their players can come over to the US, but other than that, it's really a free-for-all.
We'll be back in just a moment with more MTSU on the Record after this.
Expanding Your Horizons is an annual hands-on science and math conference for middle and high school girls. EYH enables girls to investigate careers in science and math and to talk with female leaders in those fields that are so essential to our nation's future. EYH also provides the girls with fun hands-on activities and allows them to meet girls with similar interests. I'm Dr. Judith Iriarte-Gross, EYH Director.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Mitchell Woltering about the real Moneyball question and his research. He's a graduate student here at MTSU. You've read the book, Moneyball, on which the movie was based, you said, six times? Did you see the movie?
I did see the movie, yes.
Does the movie hew true to the book, or did it take a little creative license?
It took a little creative license, but, I mean, obviously, when you're converting a book to a movie, there's always going to be things that get cut out. A lot of it was really diving into the specific statistics that they used and the process that they went through. And really, they also cut out a lot of Billy Bean's backstory. That's a large part of the book, is describing how his backstory really plays into his philosophy, you know, as a baseball professional.
They only showed that in flashback, really, especially at the time when he was trying to decide whether to go pro or not.
Yeah, they only showed in flashbacks in the movie, and it probably takes up the first 50 pages of the book. That's the beginning of the book, is describing his scenario.
Yeah. If you had had the opportunity to advise Billy, what would you have told him?
He was, I believe, drafted 17th overall, right around there in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets offered him a lot of money, especially for that time, because he was considered a top five guy, but he fell a little bit due to signability issues because he had an offer, a full scholarship to go to Stanford to play not only baseball, but to quarterback their football team as well. So he had a substantial offer from, you know, a premier institution in Stanford. So that dropped him a little bit to a team, you know, who was willing to take that risk, as we talked about earlier with signability.
Right. He wasn't just trying to decide between college and the pros. He was trying to decide whether he wanted to be the next John Elway or the next Albert Pujols.
Yeah, they actually mentioned John Elway in the book, because that's exactly what John Elway was. He was a quarterback and pitcher for the Stanford baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Billy Bean's decision was extremely tough. It'd be hard to advise him, and you can, in the book, you really get a better idea of the struggles that he had. I mean, one day he was going pro, the next day he was going to college. You know, it went back and forth, and his family valued education so highly, so that was really pushing him towards college. And as he says, in the end, he made the decision based on money. And his prevailing theme for the rest of his life has been that he will never make a decision strictly based on money, because that was the one time he did it and it went so poorly for him.
Today's marketplace, today's economy, more and more is forcing people in all walks of life to decide whether a four-year college is really worth it, because you graduate with so much debt to pay back unless you have rich parents or a four-year ride on a scholarship. Mm-hmm. And a lot of intelligent, educated people are arguing maybe it's better to go to a vo-tech school or a junior college and get some kind of a certification in a trade or a craft, learn a skill so that you can go directly in the workplace and you won't be burdened with all that debt, let alone the high unemployment rate, which is hampering everybody of all skill levels. So does this decision actually become more of a crisis right now than it was for Billy Bean back when he was trying to think about it?
I would, for all the factors that you've mentioned, I would say it's definitely more of a crisis decision now than it was when Billy was making the decision, you know, simply for all the factors that you just listed. You know, as we've said, these kids are, you're telling an 18-year-old kid to make a very difficult decision, you know, basically about the next 20 years of their life is what you're, is what it boils down to, them trying to make a decision about.
Yeah, he popped his first pimple about 5 years ago and lost his virginity about 3 years ago, and now he has to make a decision that's going to affect the rest of his life.
Yeah, it's an immense amount of pressure that are put on the kids and their families, really. And, you know, the way to combat that and to make the best decision is, you know, through information and doing your homework. And, you know, really that's why I wanted to dive into this subject and write this, because it's difficult to find all this information about the draft, you know, about what you can expect for a signing bonus. It's hard to find that, you know, centrally located. So I was trying to, you know, that's my goal here, is to help educate and really bring all that information to one place for people to find.
And what are you going to do with the rest of your life after you earn your master's and your PhD?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I want to stay here at MTSU and pursue my PhD. That's something that is very important to me. I value education very highly. When you get older, you want to leave a legacy somehow. And I think a great way to leave a legacy is as an educator, because it's a unique way to measure yourself when you're an educator, especially in higher education, I think, because you can measure yourself based on how you see people doing, you know, that you taught, that you had an impact in their life. So I think that's a very unique way of measuring yourself, and, you know, I look forward to that challenge. In addition to that, I do want to work in baseball. I have a great passion for baseball. I just recently secured an internship with the New York Mets that I'll be leaving for in about a month to do over the course of the minor league season this year. And, you know, it's really two passions for me, is education and baseball, and I hope to, you know, work in the front office for a baseball team somewhere down the line, and I hope to really, you know, be able to pursue both of those passions of mine.
So you'll be their Jonah Hill, so to speak?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
He's better looking than Jonah Hill, take it from me.
Well, thank you.
Mitchell Woltering, if you want to read his article, Weighing the Real Moneyball Question, When is College the Better Choice for MLB-Drafted High School Baseball Players?, it was published January 30th, 2012 at collegesportsbusinessnews.com. Thanks for being with us today, Mitchell.
Thanks for having me.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.